guys, welcome to Dusty Backlogs, episode 4. It is October 28th, 2014. I'm joined by Steve.
How's it going?
I am not joined by Charlie. Charlie has some news.
Yes, he does. Dun, 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 dun. You gonna say
it? He has spawned human life into this world.
Yep, he sure has.
A couple Saturdays ago, his son was born, so congrats to Charlie. He is knee-deep in diapers right now and unable to join us at this time. Yes. But, so this is episode 4. I don't know if episodes 2 and 3 are ever going to make it up or not.
They'll make
it. For those of our loyal listeners, Steve has pledged that they will find their way to iTunes.
So here's the big problem that I'm having right now. Episode 2 never uploaded. Episode 3, I never tried to upload, but the reason being, I'm trying to find, when we don't have the bumper music on the show, I like having that fade over, and I have not been able to figure out how to do the fade over when you talk over line. And I know it's something simple, and I just got to research it. I just need to streamline this whole adding that stuff and posting it.
We'll figure this stuff out.
So we'll get it figured out. We're still all pretty new to this. Especially the post-production stuff, but we'll get it going.
We're also listed as an automotive podcast, and we're going to get that changed,
well,
too.
Well, we got some cars to talk about. I got a transmission in my 57 Chevy that we need to talk about how we're going to dismantle and rig up next weekend.
I only know one thing about cars, Steve.
When you
take it to the shop, the mechanic says one thing to you. It's going to be about $300. That's about all I can say about cars right there.
That's about it.
It's going to be a real short pod. All right, everybody, thanks for listening.
This is Andy Steve, and we know nothing about vehicles.
So. Welcome to your automotive podcast.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. And we might, to fix that, we might just have to, like, repost and recreate the podcast on iTunes. I'm not really sure how that's going to work, but hopefully I can get it fixed.
The other thing is, you know, even without 2 and 3, it's been a long time since we recorded an episode. I think we'd like to get this back to a weekly or at least every 2-week thing.
Yeah. I think that what that's going to take, Andy, is just you and I doing it, and then hopefully Charlie can join as much as possible.
Yeah. It's a two-man show.
Yeah. I think that's what we're going to have to do.
But this is Dusty Backlogs, after all, which the name implies that we don't have a whole lot of time, but we're going to make time for our loyal listeners. So
yeah, not a whole lot of time, and we're, let's face it, kind of lazy.
We are kind of lazy. Steve, it's Halloween part of time around these parts.
That is right.
I have some guests with me tonight.
You have a guest?
Yeah. See what that is right there?
Ah, the infamous nerds. What flavor are those?
Those are strawberry. I got these bad boys right here.
Those are the worst ones, grape. I hate grape nerds.
And I got this bad boy right here.
Which means this is a pre-holiday box of wonders.
That's exactly what this is. I got Gobstoppers. So I have all kinds of fun things on my desk here to bide the time for our hour and a half together.
Is this from the normal Box of Wonders source? Or
no, the Box of Wonders is long since gone.
You can't even get that anymore?
Nope, all gone. So this is legit, you know.
No more pixie dust?
Purchase can't. Yeah. Yeah, no more pixie dust. Those were fun days, though.
Yep.
So, but, yeah, excited for Friday night. Kid's going to be trick-or-treating a little bit. I'll eat all his candy like I normally do.
Yeah, I had a taste of that this past Saturday. We took the little one up to something called Guppy Ween at the aquarium here, and they had all the little kids walking around in their costumes, and they had stations around the various tanks, and people were handing out candy, and she kind of figured out what she was doing. By the end there, she knew to stick out her little pumpkin thing, and they put the candy in there.
Can she say trick-or-treat?
No, I've been trying to get her to say it. She wouldn't say it just yet.
My son barely could say it last year. This year, he's got it all figured out. He is raring to go for Friday night. He can say Halloween, pumpkin, candy, trick-or-treat, costume.
So he knows he's getting candy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He keeps asking me, when is Halloween? When is Halloween? So he's ready to go, man. We're going to be starting the potty training phase real soon. So.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. He did poop in the toilet once. We sat him down.
Oh, yeah?
Said, go poop. He made it happen, man. He left some turds right in there. So he's quite proud of himself. So he can do it. It's just a matter of motivation.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, anyway,
it's going to be a messy process, but at least you'll be better when you get through it.
Yes. It'll all be worth it. No more diapers. Thank God. But, man, games are coming out. It is. We are in the thick of it, man.
Yeah, and I thought there was going to be a weak season.
I really did, too. Looking at the fall, I was like, man, this looks slow, but there's been some nice surprises coming out. I mean, Mordor did well. I completely forgot Lords of the Fallen was even a thing. That came out today, and that got decent reviews. Borderlands was kind of meh. Yeah. But, man, November is just, whew, we are about to get into it. So,
yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, November's jam-packed, and my backlog just keeps growing and getting dustier and dustier.
Yes, it does. And wait till those sales hit, man. You know, we haven't seen the best of it yet. I'm excited to see what deals you and I pick up on Steam and PSN this holiday. So, what you been up to, man? Let's get into it.
Well, let's see. I have not been playing games. I just haven't had much time. The last game I was, I think in our last podcast we were talking about Wolf Among Us. I was playing that. Finished that up. Though, to be honest, I actually still have to go and do some trophy cleanup on that. Never really got around back to doing that, but
yeah. I got to go like get all those. You don't just get them all.
No, I got to go and do all those, get the extra fables so I can unlock that platinum. Might as well do it. It doesn't seem like it'd take too long. So,
it doesn't.
In fact, I might do that this week, and I'll explain why I wasn't planning on doing it. So, yeah, I'm up in North Carolina this week for work, and I bought one of those PlayStation TVs, and the whole idea was now I'll be able to remote play. It's a cheap way that I can play my PS4 from home, do remote play. Last time I was up here, I tested it out, made Lara Croft run around the screen in circles a lot of times, and I'm like, this is workable. I can do it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, it's the type of thing that for the now, while PS4s are costing, you know, $350 on the used market, $400 new, $100 box is pretty attractive. When PlayStations get down to the $200 mark, I'll probably just buy a second one just so I can have that native experience and get rid of the Vita TV or PS TV. But for now, I mean, that's a couple few years away. For now, this thing's going to do the job. So I was all excited about playing Tomb Raider this week. Well, but then Sony decided to drop a little bomb on us known as firmware 2.0.
Oh, but that's a good thing. I just did mine.
Yeah, so it's a good thing, except for the fact that the remote play requires you to be on the latest firmware versions.
Wah, wah. There goes your gaming this week.
Yeah, so I updated my PlayStation TV, no problems. Then I tried to connect to the PlayStation, and it can't get connected.
Oh, no.
And I was afraid of that. And the reason why is it won't connect to PSN unless it has the latest firmware, and, you know. I thought this whole thing was supposed to happen in the background now, that you didn't have to actively...
Yeah.
All it does is downloads the firmware. It doesn't
mine downloaded. I had to install it and reboot today.
Yeah. So that's frustrating. So I'm going to have to... And this could pose a problem, because one of the other things is when we have our game nights, I was hoping to play, you know, like Diablo or whatever with you guys through the PlayStation TV. And if a firmware hits while I'm gone, that's going to be problematic. So what this
well,
is going
to be fair, this was a big one. This wasn't your standard.
Yeah.
File,
yeah. So. That is true. But what this is going to require me to do is teach my wife how to install firmware on my PS4. I'm not sure how I'm going to swing this one. And obviously with this one here, I'm not going to even bother, but, when I get home, I'm going to show her and she will be educated in all things firmware.
I would love to be a fly on the wall for that conversation.
Oh, it's not going to go well. But I think the pain is worth the reward. So that's where I stand with that. But I am
stuck with Vita games this week, or what? What do you got?
Yeah, I'm stuck with Vita games. I could actually finish up the Wolf Among Us stuff.
Yeah, you do have your PS3.
Yeah, PS3 up here, and I got the... I think I got the save, my last save up in the cloud, so I can download that and play that. So I might do that tomorrow night. That is not a bad idea. Just get that out of the way and close that out. So probably do that. But yeah, the PlayStation TV, that is a interesting little piece of hardware there.
Yeah, it's something.
Really geared toward a very niche crowd. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, for my purposes, like, it works and it fits its needs, but I'll tell you what, those menus look like crap, which who cares what the menus look like, but have you played a game on it yet?
I have.
That's a Vita game?
No. I got a Vita card to put in there and download some of my Vita content because the list of compatible software is pretty big. It doesn't play everything. You know, like it won't play a game like Smart Ass. It is all touch-based, but it is compatible with a lot of stuff. But I haven't downloaded anything yet, so I can't speak to that. I remote played some PS4 stuff, and after a little trial and error, you know, I got the lag down to an acceptable amount. And which is crazy that there even is lag, because my PS4 is hardwired into the router, and this thing's hardwired into the router. So I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah, I will say that the lag on this has been... I don't know. With the Vita, I guess it's always been there with actual portable handheld Vita. I was just expecting a little bit less latency, especially when I was... I mean, remote-wise, it's about what I was expecting. But at home, I was really almost expecting a near one-to-one play. I've messed around with some of the remote streaming with my computer and NVIDIA's solution and Steam solution, and both of those are almost like, I mean, you can't tell the latency, like unless you are really playing something that is like Twitch, you know, requires a, you know, high reaction, you can't tell. But on this, you can slightly notice it, and like you I mean, I think you're experiencing the same thing. Yeah. It's still playable by all means. But
yeah, Watch Dogs is perfectly playable on it, but and I haven't tried a Vita game downloaded to it on the memory card. That's what I need to try, is like some Rayman or Hotline Miami or something, and see how those work.
Yeah, but, the only thing I can think of is they cheaped out on the Ethernet controller on the that, you know, it's just not able to. I don't know. That doesn't even make sense. I really don't have an answer for it. But I'm hoping maybe with firmware upgrades, like they improve performance on it.
I hope so.
But anyways, it does the job. And
I think I'm satisfied with my purchase on it. With what I've done so far, I think I'm satisfied, but I do need to try a Vita game on it. But that interface is garish, man. It is quite literally a Vita interface on your TV. Gigantic freaking bubbles.
Which shows their commitment to this thing as pretty much, we threw this thing against the wall, hopefully it sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a lot of design went into making it look good.
No. I mean, if they really wanted to do this, they should have thrown some type of XMB up there, like, you know, they have on the PS3.
Yeah.
Or something that's, you know, I mean, first of all, I hate the Vita interface.
Oh, yeah, I'm not a fan either.
Not a fan. And I realized they were trying to go for something that was, like, touch-friendly, you know, whatever. I actually preferred the interface on the PSP because it was consistent with the other Sony platforms, but... whatever, but you know this. But the Vita interface is tolerable because of the touch interface on the TV.
By the
like
way,
I said no touch, no do. Yeah.
Quick fun fact: did you know that on the Vita, you can categorize your games into bubbles? Like you
I
do
just
on
recently
iPhone?
Found this out. You can make.
I just found that out like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you can make folder.
You can put them
bubbles.
Like A through C and D through F or whatever.
Yep. Folder bubbles. I did not know that too until recently either. But yeah, I mean, I'm curious what a game looks like on the screen, so I need to try that out. And I guess I could do that this week too. I could put a game on the Vita and see how on Vita TV and
it's got a gig, right?
Yeah, it comes with a gig, and I got the card from my Vita, so I could pop that in too. So we'll see. I'll mess with that. But I'm just expecting that it's going to look pretty rough because of the upscaled resolution. So,
yeah, that's what I'm wondering about. What's it going to look like?
And, you know, so if this thing turns into solely a streaming box, so be it. That was still a nice function feature to be able to do that. So, but
I still can't believe it doesn't have even Netflix on it, though.
There's no Netflix app for it?
There's no Netflix on it.
Oh, jeez.
It's got Crunchyroll and Crackle. Yeah. You know, I was looking for Netflix because, like, oh, you know, the wife, this is an easy way to Netflix something, and it's hardwired, so she won't get any stoppage. There's no Netflix on it.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to, I think they said it's coming, but my God.
You know what you should do? Now
Netflix
that you have
is on
that,
my toaster.
Now that you have that hardwire... running up there, you should just get yourself like a cheap old 5-port switch, and then you can hook up all your stuff up that's behind the TV, like your Apple TV, your Xbox.
You know what? I need one. Can you send me a link for a good one?
Yeah, they're not expensive. You're talking about like $20.
Yeah, because I got my 360, I got my DVD player, I got my Apple TV, I got the PS TV, and I got the TV. So it's 5 HDMI connections I got going up there.
And the added benefit of doing that is actually your Wi-Fi will work better. Less devices you have hooked up to your Wi-Fi, the better it operates. So,
oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it won't be a huge performance bump, but it will be a little bit better for devices that you need Wi-Fi for. So yeah, no, you'll have a better experience, and like I said, it helps on either way. So anyway, yeah, so that's the PlayStation TV. It's really geared towards a niche market. I, as excited as I was when they announced this thing, from the standpoint of remote play, now that I have it, I'm mostly satisfied with my purchase, but I'm still kind of scratching my head how long this thing's actually going to be for sale. And I'm also almost wondering if I should have just waited till this thing was discontinued and marked down and picked one up. But it is what it is.
Yes, $100 feels a little, I don't know.
Like yeah, $100 felt a little steep for this thing. But anyway, so that's what, you know. Especially when you take into account that you have to still buy Sony's proprietary memory cards. So.
Which is absurd. Absurd. And those things never go on sale.
No.
Ever.
No, that whole thing is probably the biggest flaw in the whole Vita, you know, ecosystem. I mean, you know, especially, you know, when you take
into account. That's the kind of crap Nintendo does, you know.
Which is funny because Nintendo didn't do that. They used normal SD cards in their DS. In the 3DS. Yeah. So.
But in terms of proprietary, you know, chargers and everything else, exactly. It's all Nintendo. You know,
you would just think. I mean, look, Sony makes money selling. Everyone knows that they don't make the money on the hardware; they make the money on selling software, and people will buy more software when they have more storage. So, give people the cheapest method to add storage to your device, so they can buy as much software as possible that are restricting. Right. It was kind of, you know. I mean, I'm sure they're making a killing on those memory cards, but I just, I don't know if that was just if it ended up paying off for them in the end. But anyways, that's enough about the PlayStation TV. If you have any interest in streaming, it might be something worth picking up. Otherwise, I don't know, I'm better off with just getting a regular Vita if you're interested in a Vita. So the only other stuff I had to talk about really was just kind of non-gaming related. Hopefully by next week I'll have some tomb raiding done, and I'll be able to talk about finishing up that game and what I'm going on to next. But the Google Player got announced last week, I believe it was. No, 2 weeks ago. Wow, time's flying. So it's Google's latest attempt to make a set-top box for that's Android-based, mm-hmm. and that can compete with Apple TV and Roku and all that stuff. They've tried this before with the Google TV, which ended up being pretty much a pretty big mess. The Google TV there—they had two iterations of it. The first iteration failed pretty hard due to cost. The hardware requirements they put into for the manufacturers to run it were too high, and the devices were expensive. In a world where you could pick up a $100 Apple TV. They then released a second iteration with different hardware specifications, and they got them down to acceptable prices. But by that time, the ecosystem kind of stunk, and I messed around with them. They had some interesting ideas, but ultimately it was kind of a very clunky interface, and there wasn't really much consistency. Just kind of rough. So then they, you know, Google released after they discontinued Google TV, they put out the Chromecast, which the Chromecast is a great little device. I don't know, Andy, have you ever used one of those, or do you know what they are?
I haven't. I've heard of them a lot.
I'm just not
sure why I need one, though.
You really don't. If you have all Apple devices and you already have an Apple TV, you really don't need a Chromecast. But they're basically an alternative to Apple TV at a very, very cheap price. I mean, you pick up a Chromecast for between $30-$35, and it's, in essence, AirPlay on a stick. It doesn't do anything but AirPlay, but it's Google's version of AirPlay. So your native.
I thought you needed a subscription to it to do.
No, anything. No subscriptions needed for Chromecast. Okay. Obviously, if you want to play Netflix on Chromecast, you need a subscription to Netflix. But there's no subscription to use Chromecast. But the catch of Chromecast versus AirPlay is that with AirPlay on Apple TV, you pretty much anything that pops up in a video player can, for the most part, have AirPlay enabled, and you can AirPlay it out. Chromecast, the developers have to add Chromecast support to their app. So for the longest time, like Twitch didn't have Chromecast support, but they just recently added. And most of your major video playing apps on your iOS phones and Android devices have Chromecast support, so it's not so much an issue. So it's the type of thing, if you know, you didn't care about the channels on Apple TV and you just want to be able to AirPlay stuff, when I say AirPlay,
yeah, I know
you know what I'm talking about. Chromecast was a great little device. In fact, I use them up here in North Carolina. Like, if I send a movie from Plex, I just Chromecast it to the TV and watch it there, and works great. And and like I said, it's a little cheap device. It's good for portability. You can, because it literally looks like a thumb
pocket.
Yeah, you can thumbstick. So I actually, the one I use up in North Carolina, I just keep in my backpack. So if I go to a hotel, I can plug that into the hotel TV. If you can find a TV at a hotel that allows HDMI connections anymore, which is becoming rarer and rarer, you can use it there. So anyway, so they've had that out for a while. Now they're coming out with the Nexus Player, which is going to be a full set-top box, just like Apple TV, $100, targeted at the same price demographic as Apple TV, has channels like Apple TV, but it will support Chromecast, so it has feature parity with Apple TV now. Now Apple has AirPlay, they'll have the Chromecast, Google Cast support. But the cool thing about it that has me interested in is the App Store. So they actually have a full-blown App Store for this thing. So one of the big things that, as much as I love the Apple TV, I love Plex more. And one of the things that bothers me is I can't put Plex on my Apple TV without jailbreaking the Apple TV and jumping through hoops. This new device...
You can AirPlay it from your phone,
you can
right?
AirPlay Plex from your phone.
You just can't play from the Apple TV.
Yeah, but there's some... But the problem with that is it's a less than ideal experience.
I've tried it. It works,
but it's not the greatest thing. Mm-hmm. Chromecast, actually, I find the Chromecast with that Plex works better. My gripe with the Chromecast is it doesn't have a remote, so you have to use your phone to pause, and that kind of gets annoying, especially if you're watching a movie with your wife, you got to use the bathroom. But this device has the Chromecast built in, so it has pretty much feature parity, but it has the App Store, so I'd be able to install Plex, which they've already announced will be supported on this new device, and you can install all these other channels like HBO Go and Netflix and Amazon Prime and all that. But I guess where this is relevant to gaming is that you can also install Android games. So they're going to be releasing a controller for it, which almost looks identical to the controller that was released for the Fire TV when that got announced.
Didn't you get one of those and return it?
I got a Fire TV and returned it. Yeah. And you can download emulators.
Yep.
So, I am definitely kind of interested in that because you were trying to get me to buy an Ouya. Go down that rabbit hole with you, and I had the willpower to hold out.
You did.
And now
this is your Ouya.
This will be my Ouya. Plus,
I got an Ouya. I never use it.
I know. So this will be my Ouya, but I'll also have Plex. So even if I don't play emulated games, I'll still have... This will probably end up being my main movie player. And I might, depending on which, I might end up getting rid of the Apple TV if I get the wife acceptance factor up high enough on it. She likes the Apple TV. It's simple for her to use and it works. So that's the Google Player. I pre-ordered that and it should be coming.
When does it come out?
I don't think they've announced an official release date, but it's expected sometime the first week of November. So next week it should arrive at my house, I'm thinking.
Nice. It's $100.
It was $100. So that should be fun. The other thing that got announced along with it, Google announced the Nexus 9, which is their latest tablet. They've gotten rid of the Nexus 7, which was their old tablet, and the Nexus 10. So this is roughly about the same size as the new iPad Air. Pretty nice piece of device. If you're not in the Apple ecosystem, I'd actually probably recommend this as the tablet to get. In my opinion, that varies from person to person. A lot of people like Samsung products and stuff like that.
On your part?
What's that?
Any interest on your part?
No. I personally prefer smaller tablets. So between the 7 and 8 inch range. So this is, I'd have to see it in a store, but at a 9 inch, it's closer to the full size iPad. And I use my tablet a lot for reading, and I like having that smaller, form factor for reading rather than having to hold something with two hands. It's still a pretty good tablet, so from what I've read on the specs, so we'll see. NVIDIA actually is making the onboard system on the chip on there. It's supposed to have pretty good, as far as gaming on Android, it's supposed to be a pretty high-end gaming tablet. So,
you know how Microsoft Surface is NFL tablet, yep, or whatever. They're on all the sidelines. One of the players came out, I think it was a quarterback, I can't remember who it was, but he called the Surface in an interview, knockoff iPad.
Did he really? Oh God!
Didn't Microsoft go over too well.
Oh my God! Microsoft must have been furious.
It's funny though, watching them all on sidelines. They have these big plastic blue cases on them. You know, it's
crazy.
It's pretty funny.
They also announced a new phone, the Nexus 6, which is going to compete directly with the Galaxy Note and the iPhone Fat, or what I like to call the Duke. It's going to be the iPhone Duke is a 5.5-inch screen. The 6 Plus is. The Nexus 6 is actually a 6-inch screen, so it's even
that's
bigger.
That's insane. Was there a Nexus 5, or is this...
There isn't. The Nexus 5 is actually the phone that I have.
So it just worked out that it's iPhone 6, Nexus 6. Okay.
Yeah, it just worked out. And they're still going to be selling the Nexus 5 along. So their new lineup's Nexus 5, Nexus 6, and Nexus 9.
I have zero idea what's going on with, Android phone technology and what's Note, the Nexus, the whatever. All I know is the iPhone.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've recently, my whole drama with the Android phone. Mm-hmm. I have an Android phone. And I really like that phone. There's just certain things in iOS because I know so many people that are on iPhone. They use PhotoShare, FaceTime, and stuff like that. I miss on that. I will say, from my original experience of Android to now, 100% better. It is...
From our days with the Evo?
From our days with the Evo, it is a polished platform now.
Wow.
Fully developed. And any feature that you find on the iPhone, there is now feature parity on the Android, and Google has its own service that supports it. So, if you got FaceTime on iOS... Hangouts does your video call. It's native on Android. You got PhotoStream. They use Google Plus for their photo service. They got, it's the location. They have all that stuff, feature parity. At this point, it really is just a matter of what ecosystem you've already committed to. If you own devices like an iPad and the Apple TV, you probably want an iPhone. If you have a Nexus tablet and you're just jumping in. Android devices tend to be a little bit on the cheaper side, and they're just as good nowadays. And what's nice about the Nexus line that Google provides is that it's all vanilla Android. They don't put any of their crappy extra software or widgets all over the place, or the skins and stuff like that. So it's good. So
what are you rocking now? You got an iPhone 6?
For my work phone, I have an iPhone 6, and I pretty much use that as my primary phone. My personal phone is that Nexus 5.
Yeah.
But the way I have it set up through Google Voice and Hangouts is that pretty much if you call me on my personal line, it still goes to my iPhone 6.
Yeah.
So I don't really carry the Nexus. I can text through Hangouts, and it looks like it's coming from my Android phone, but it's really coming from my iPhone. So it works out pretty well. And then for a tablet, I actually traded in my iPad mini for a 32-gigabyte Nexus 7 tablet, and I've been pretty happy with that. So that's kind of what I've been using. The other thing that was announced this week was the Fire TV Stick.
Oh my God, are they pushing it? I went to Amazon just before this podcast, and it's like, boom, right in your face. Gigantic red ad takes up the whole screen.
Last opportunity to buy for $19.99.
What is this thing?
So it's basically a scaled-down version of the Fire TV that they released back in, five months ago. We're only talking 4 or 5 months ago, but was a very powerful media player. And to be honest, to be fair, my time of it, with it was, I ended up returning it, but it is actually a pretty good device. I just returned it because I didn't like how Plex functioned on it. It just wasn't quite there. I'm hoping that's not going to end up being the case on the Google Player. But for someone who just wants a, you know, they want their Netflix, they want their Amazon Prime TV, they want the HBO Go's and stuff like that, and they don't care about AirPlay. It would be a good device, and then it does some mild gaming. They got that controller for it and stuff like that. Emulators, you could do the same thing with that. So that was kind of
seems
cool.
Like you can get that on a lot of these platforms now that are coming out. Like yeah, emulators yeah, are like, very easy to get on a TV now.
Anything that's Android based that has access to App Store, you can get emulators and stuff. So the Fire TV Stick is basically a scaled down version of that box. Same interface, access to the App Store. It just has a slightly less powerful processor in it. So some of the higher end games that were released won't work on it. But if you solely want something for media streaming, this thing, for the price, is just phenomenal. Especially if you're a Prime member right now, if you can get it for the $19 and you're looking for something, I mean, you really probably couldn't go wrong with this thing. I mean, there's no beneficial reviews, but it's so similar to the original that I can't imagine it being that much different. And so I ended up actually ordering one for North Carolina because I've been wanting another device for streaming, and mm-hmm. I figure I'll use that in North Carolina, and then I can move the Chromecast in my backpack. I have a need for it at my house. So, and what I like about this little stick is that it actually has a physical remote where the Chromecast doesn't. So
saw that. Yeah.
So that's the big thing. It's just when I get called when I'm here, my wife will call me, and all I do is play games and watch TV and movies at night when I'm here, and. Just being able to pick up the remote and hit pause is a convenience that's worth $19 to me. So anyway, I'll try that out. If it ends up sucking, I figure it was $20.
Yeah, it's not a big investment.
No. So,
also, it's your last chance.
Yeah, last chance. Someday. So anyway, that was my little week in review in tech. There's a lot of stuff coming out.
How about Tomb Raider, man? You do anything with that? Is that what you're sort of playing right
now?
That's
what I'm sort of playing right now. I'm about a third of the way through that. Just need to play it. So
just got to make time to play it, huh?
Yep. Just got to make time. The only other thing that happened was iPads got released, but really nothing exciting over there. So that's the tech review.
You're weak in tech.
Yes. So tell me about what you've been doing. I know you've been playing some Watch Dogs.
I actually just finished up the Watch Dogs DLC right before this podcast, so I am closing the book on Watch Dogs.
Okay, so I did not know you were playing the DLC.
Because I am an idiot.
Okay.
I downloaded Bad Blood. I finished the game, sat there for a minute, and I was like, Far Cry 4 comes out in about a month. What do I want to do for a month? And I said, this DLC might be okay. It featured a character from the main campaign that was actually somewhat likable. His name's T-Bone.
T-Bone?
So, yeah, so I gave it a whirl. It's not great.
It doesn't really. I heard the DLC wasn't that bad for Far Cry, but. Watch Dogs.
It's very repetitive. I mean, the main campaign is decent, I guess, but it just. I just didn't care. I don't know. Maybe I was just burned out on Watch Dogs, but I just didn't really care. The voice acting was much better than the main game. Aiden Pierce just sounds like he doesn't want to be there, the whole time. But T-Bone,
I have a feeling that Aiden Pierce will not be appearing in Watch Dogs 2.
I think it's much like the Connor situation in AC3 where he's just not likable. I don't think he'll be back. And he's just a jerk, man. I mean, I think I mentioned it in the last podcast, but... The guy, I mean, he was wronged early in the game, and his whole crusade is to right that wrong, and he just creates so much more collateral damage along the way that at some point you're just shaking your head, like, what's even going on? Like, what am I even doing? What's the point? And that's sort of where the story takes it, like, did I actually accomplish anything or not? It had some really cool mechanics. There were times when I was just screwing around with it, hacking stuff and losing enemies that it was a blast. And probably my favorite thing from the game was side missions like gang hangouts that you'd have to raid. And you just had so many toys at your disposal from, you know, a grenade launcher to your standard assault rifle to a silenced pistol to IEDs to proximity IEDs to lures to pull them over to something, to jam comms where they can't communicate with each other. And then just the hacking piece, you could hack like an electrical panel and make it blow up while an employee, while a guy's walking by it. You could make a floor panel fall out and he falls in. You can hack his phone so he's distracted. You can hack his comms so he has static in his ear and gets distracted, and you can shoot him in the head.
So the gameplay stuff kind of, it sounds like it did actually pay out what they were promising.
The gameplay was pretty cool. I mean, even driving around, you could be on like a chase and you could blow up steam pipes behind you and wreck the car that's chasing you. Or you could make spikes come up and make that guy wreck. And the more skill, you could distract a helicopter and get him off your tail. The driving wasn't good. Don't get me wrong on that. It was very squirrely. But the gameplay was fun. I mean, I had more fun with the side stuff than I did the main campaign. It's just the story was just, I mean, the whole time I'm just like, ugh. I mean, I sent you a few texts of samples of writing from it. Yeah. And the DLC was no different, where it's like, you need to send a message. I don't think they'll like it. They probably won't. Yep. That is actual writing from the game. And I'm just like, come on, guys. I mean, what are you doing? This is horrible. So, you know, I'm not going to say it's the disappointment of the year, but it definitely kind of let me down a little bit. I was hoping for a much more intriguing story. The gameplay held up, though. The gameplay held up. But it is done, so I'm not sure what I'm going to mess with. I mean, all I can tell you is Far Cry 4 is going in the PS4 day on date.
When is that released?
November 18th. So that bad boy's pre-ordered, and I cannot wait. The more I see that game, the more I want to play it. So I just need kind of a stopgap between now and then. I know we're going to play some Outlast, hopefully, for our Halloween challenge Thursday night this week.
Yep.
Hopefully. Yep. If not, maybe Saturday night or something.
So, yeah, with that, I will be home. I travel Thursday. So I don't get home until, I think the plane lands around 9:20. You should be at the house by 10 o'clock.
Might not be the best time for it, man.
Well, I should still be down for a couple hours, and then I might try to finish it up on Halloween. So
I'm good to play through midnight, you know, and after everybody's in bed Halloween, I'm game for that, too.
That's what I'm thinking.
In a dark basement playing Outlast alone. Sounds fantastic. So that's Watch Dogs, man. I'm happy to close the book on it. There were some good takeaways, but all in all, it was not what I hoped for. So, but you know what? It was all right. I had a good 2 months with it. I downloaded Fibbage. You familiar with this game, Steve?
You mentioned a little bit, but only from what you've said. So why don't you go over it?
So it's from the makers of the You Don't Know Jack game. And I downloaded it because it looked fun, and I played it with the wife. And, man, we just had a blast. The game tries to get you to lie to other people and get them to believe it. So it'll ask a question, you know, one that you've never... Nobody knows the answer to it. It'll say something like, Andrew Hill changed his name to this in 1828. And so it's a blank, and you can put something in there. And, you know, you put in a word. And then if your partner, not your partner, but the other person playing the game picks that word, picks your lie, you get points.
Okay.
They put in a lie as well, and the game put a few sample lies up on the board, as well as the truth. So after the question goes up, you try to pick the truth. And if you pick the truth, you get points. And if the other people pick your lie, you get points. The coolest thing about it is you play on your phone. So on the screen is the question. At the very beginning of the game, you put in a room code at fibbage.com. And you write your answers. You pick your answers on your phone, and it transmits directly. So you and your wife could be playing it in St. Pete. My wife could be playing it in Baltimore. All on our phones, sending lies to the same screens, and it would just be a blast. So it's
need to set that up. I'm all for it,
man. Halloween night, man. If you want to do it prior to the Outlast challenge, and once the kids are in bed, if you want to give it a go, I'm game.
That sounds.
And
brilliant.
I played it via my PSTV, and it worked great. So I remote played it to my PS4.
Yeah, see that doesn't sound like something that, you know. Obviously, it's just a quiz game, so that's perfect case scenario for that, right?
We were rolling, and I had the wife literally falling off the couch laughing with one where I got her. It was something about a truck carrying 28 tons of this crashed. and I put in Pokemon as my lie, and she picked it.
20 tons of Pokemon.
So we had a blast. There's only one downside to it. When I was playing it, I was like, man, how far can this go? How many questions do I think is in the game? You know, maybe 1,000 or something.
Uh-huh.
Reading online, it sounds like there's only 150 questions in the game.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's not much.
No, it's not. And it seems like not even much of an effort. I mean,
no.
Creating questions doesn't seem like it'd be...
No. I mean, for a game like this, how easy... And by the way, the voice acting it, the guy that's announcing it and making jokes is hilarious. But, I mean, we must have gone through 35 or 40 just the night we played it.
Huh.
So it sounds lazy, you know? I mean, I hope they patch it with more.
Yeah.
Even if it's 99-cent DLC or something, but,
their plan.
Once you've seen them all, and I know it's only $6.99, but... I wish they made it $19.99 or something and gave us 1,000 questions. You know what I mean?
Exactly, because sounds like just a fantastic party game. And
yeah. I mean, I think it's still worth the $6.99, but it limits your ability to extend that gameplay. You know, and if you start playing it with people that, you know, you haven't played it, but you have, you're going to know all the answers, and it's not even fun. So, but anyway, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll set that up. If not Halloween night, maybe Saturday night or something, if possible.
Sounds like a plan.
Yep.
So I did that via my PSTV. We've talked about that enough already.
Yeah,
you know,
yep.
Pretty happy with that purchase, but we'll see. A couple weeks ago, I watched the movie Ender's Game, and I put it on the agenda. You ever seen that?
I have seen it, and I've also read the book.
What do you think?
The book, I read the book first. The book was fantastic. The movie was a big...
Well, you read the book first, right?
Yeah. Did you like the movie?
I did. I didn't even know there was a book.
I am shocked. I was waiting for you to... bash that movie.
No, I liked it a lot.
So, and I think part of the reason why I didn't like the movie was because they got the overall gist of it, but they skipped a lot of my favorite parts of the book. And that, more times than not, when you read the book and then you see the movie or watch the TV show or whatever it is, most times you will be disappointed, and that's what proved the case. I love the book. I love the story. So I'm surprised you liked it, but yeah, it's great. There's actually I don't know how well it did in the box office, because there's the whole series. Like there's I want to say there's like 8 or 9 books that were written. So they could keep going with it if it did well. I only read the first book, and it was kind of funny. When I read it, I told I was hesitant to recommend it to my wife. My wife's quite a bit a bookworm. But I didn't know if she would, it's sci-fi, and I didn't know if she was going to like it or not. I recommended it to her. She read it, and then she tore through. Like, she's a very fast reader, and she just tore through the whole series.
Wow.
She read all the books, and then there were some other books that were based on she went through everything Ender's Game possible. It was kind of crazy.
Wow.
I'm surprised you liked it.
I don't know about the ending, though, you know, where he goes down there and...
Yeah, you know, so that was...
I was like,
That was weird in the book, too. I think they changed it a little in the movie. I'm trying to remember how it ends, but I do remember that it was weird in both the book and in the movie. That they both... Yeah. It was kind of a strange ending. But the story was pretty... the story is great. They... especially like in the book, they go through more of about the battle training and the the different squads that he has to go through to get until he becomes a platoon leader and stuff like that. But yeah, it was good times.
Cool. And we haven't watched many movies lately, but that was one that we did, so I enjoyed it.
I am shocked. What did your wife think? Did she like it?
She liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, she fell asleep at the very end.
Yeah.
But she enjoyed the movie.
That's the way of things.
And, you know, the last podcast, I was still rocking my poor little 4S iPhone. Went out and got a personal iPhone 6. Love it. A week later, I found out I was eligible for an upgrade at work and got another iPhone 6 for work. So now I am double fisting
iPhones.
iPhone 6s. But, oh, my God, what an upgrade. I can actually type on these screens. So I'm loving it.
LTE is a big update, too. It's much faster.
The other beauty of it is one is Sprint, one is AT&T. So if I don't get service with one, I might get it with the other.
So your work one is Sprint, right?
Home is Sprint. work as AT&T. I switched carriers at work because I said, you know, if you could drop Sprint, that'd kind of be good.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. So did you have, I mean, did you have problems with Sprint? Was that why you wanted to get off?
Some areas of Baltimore, 95 in particular, has three major Sprint dead spots.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, the 4S was only 3G, so I was already used to a slow phone, but
right.
I'd been hearing AT&T service around here is pretty good.
Okay.
And so far,
yeah,
it's good. Huh. And Sprint's okay, too, but there are some dead spots around here.
Okay, that's interesting. I did not know that.
Then prior to the podcast, I downloaded 2.0 and installed that. Most everything works great, man. It is so nice to not have to look at that blue on my PS4 anymore. I downloaded the gray tone. It's mm-hmm. awesome. Love it. I wasn't sure if I wanted a theme or not, but I downloaded a Call of Duty Advanced Warfare one.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool, man. Not only is it the art, but it's got music that goes with it. There's pinging as you switch apps. It's cool. Like, also, when you hit a trophy, you can hit the PS button, and it takes you right up there, syncs it immediately, and plays like the music that it would with your theme. So,
oh, that's
pretty
cool.
You know, so there was five free themes available. I went with the COD one.
That was one of the things I missed when on the PS4 was being able to change it, because that, I mean, it wasn't like the blue was ugly by any means. It was just kind of boring.
I was tired.
Yeah, I did. But besides the themes, the other thing that I kind of miss, I do miss, that they had on the PS3 that I always liked that they didn't do on the PS4 was the, you know how when you went from game to game,
it would
change the background and play
yes.
the theme music? I loved that on the PS3, and for whatever reason, they didn't do that on the PS4.
They haven't, and, you know, I was messing around a little, but the other thing it did is, that endless toolbar of apps, so now it only has 15, and the rest of them sit down in your library.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you can rank within the library on based on most recently used or A to Z. You know, I got a bunch of PS mm-hmm. Plus stuff in there. The toolbar is just your most recently used. But I was messing around with it, like Velocity. I hit down, and it played like the Velocity music. So they might be doing what you said they did on PS3.
Well, you would think that now that they have themes, they could do that. They could have like dynamic changes, so maybe they're going to be adding that back, and the developers would just have to patch it in on their games. That would be great.
Now, I also tried to think. Was there something else I did? I think that was it.
I'll tell you what I want to test with you is the SharePlay feature.
Yes, I texted that to you earlier today. We need to play around with that.
Yes.
I haven't messed with that at all, but I wanted to try, I was excited to be able to just upload directly to YouTube because I'm not putting anything on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
And the whole USB stick thing was a pain. So, and I put in my Google account information, did my two-factor authentication and everything, and then I just got this, the network could not communicate with the server mm-hmm. message. So I guess everybody's trying to link it up or something right now. I've got a real funny Watch Dogs clip saved on there from when I was like supposed to. It was one of those like escort missions, like protect the other car.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a disaster. So I can't wait to put it on YouTube and show you and Charlie how it all went. But I can't log in and upload it. But the minute I do, it's going to be up there, and I'll send you the link
soon
so
enough.
I'm
that's
really cool. Excited about being able to document glitches for posterity now.
Yes. And have it on your own YouTube channel. This is
just like that Trine thing that you have.
Yes.
Oh, what's that?
Yes. That whole being able to do right up to YouTube and just post it a channel, and then you can just tell me or Charlie, hey, go check it out. That's gold right there. That's kind of what I that's a feature, to be honest, in my opinion, should have been there from the get-go of this thing when they announced that they were going to be able to do real-time recording, uploading to YouTube. Should have just been there, but
it's amazing what we can do, yet we still can't change our names.
Yeah. Yes.
I would pay. Let me pay you, Sony.
At least we don't have like names like Poop Stain 252
it could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
What else? But yeah, I like that 2.0 update, man. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Got to mess with SharePlay. I need to get this uploading stuff fixed, but can't wait for you to do it, and run it.
Yeah, definitely. No, this weekend, besides doing Fibbage, I want to test SharePlay out.
Yeah, let's give it a roll, man. I'm not sure what I'm going to play next. Yeah. I really don't know. I have a million things in my hand. Sticking to going back and playing Braid. Oh. Yeah, I got that on a PSN sale a while ago, and that was a classic.
Yep.
When I right after I kind of got back into gaming in 2007, 2008, everybody was talking about Braid. Mm. I never played it. You know, I have it on there. I think it's Jonathan Blow made that, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
So he's got that new game coming out. What is it called?
Yeah, Watch? The Witness.
A Witness, that's it. Yeah. Yep.
So I might mess around with that. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. But anyway, so a lot going on, man. We haven't podcasted in a while. This is good. All kinds of games coming out, Steve. Geez, Lords of the Fallen, most notably today, coming out for PC, Xbone, and PS4. Reviews have been kind of all over the place. They're calling it Dark Souls Light. Okay. Had you forgotten about this game even existing?
Yes, I completely forgot.
I watched somebody streaming it last night, and it's it looks just like Dark Souls, but the knock on it is it's not as hard as Dark Souls.
Well, so, I might like it.
Yeah. I tell you, I was watching a little bit of it, and it looks pretty good. There's somebody streaming it right now over there. Sunset Overdrive, man. Xbone coming out hard with the strongly rated exclusive today, man. When I saw this game at E3, I was like, that is stupid. But the critics are loving it, man. Apparently the humor it really hits, and it kind of reminded me of an Infamous for like Xbox or something.
Hmm.
I'm mildly intrigued, but we'll get to that later.
Would you say it is intriguing enough for you to do something stupid?
Let's talk a little later. Kill All Zombies out for PS4. Unfinished Swan coming to PS Vita and PS4. Costume Quest 2 coming to PS4, and I think that's on Xbone as well. SingStar PS4, that's coming out today. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Danger of the Ooze coming to PS3. Tiny Troopers Joint Ops PS3. NBA Live 15 coming out on everything right now. WWE 2K15 coming out to everything. That did not get good reviews today at all, even with all the hype. Freedom Wars. This is a AAA game coming to Vita. You heard anything about this?
No.
An action-packed sci-fi monster-bashing game published by Sony Computer Entertainment. IGN is losing their minds over this game right now. They actually had the developer on Beyond last week and was interviewing him.
Never mind. I have heard about this because I listened to that cast.
Yeah, so they're losing their minds about it. I haven't looked at it enough yet, but you know, it's the very rare AAA release on the Vita. You know, last year we had Tearaway. This year we have this, so it might be something to look at. Blaze Rush for PS3, PC. It looks like it's about it. But man, a lot of stuff today. A lot of stuff coming out today. We should be finding out what our PS Plus games for November are probably tomorrow or Thursday.
I can't wait.
Let's stay tuned for that. You want to make any predictions?
I am going to say I don't think Knack comes out.
I think they're going to hold on to that one and try to keep selling PS4s and get their retail games sold.
Yes. I think there's going to be a big game in November.
I think on PS4?
On PS4.
And I think they'd roll out Thief?
That's a possibility.
That one came out in February to mediocre reviews.
I think you're going to see a big game in November. I think you're going to see a big one in December to move units.
They already did Far Cry 3, right?
I think they did.
Because that would whet the appetites for Far Cry 4. AC4 would certainly whet the appetite for Unity. But I don't know that they'd do that yet. I think they could still sell some copies of that game.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and say Rayman Legends, I think, is a possibility for either PS3 or PS4. Because that one, the PS4 version came out in February. The PS3 version came out September of 2013. So I think that's a possibility. I think Octodad is a possibility. And, well, we know Binding of Isaac is one of the PS4 games because the developer let it slip.
Yeah, he let that leak.
Beyond that, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. I'm hoping, I don't know. It's been a while. I'll be honest, the past few announcements have been kind of weak.
Oh, man, September and October, let's be honest, they were mediocre, man. Weak Xbox, sauce. Actually, I think, topped them, yeah.
So...
Not one big game. I mean, PS All-Stars, I think, the 1 month.
Yeah.
And then Batman Arkham Asylum the next month.
Yeah.
The 2008 game?
That was...
I mean, they've already put out Arkham City, and then they're going to drop Arkham Asylum. I mean, it was a good game, but, I mean, that's like Gears of War 1.
Yeah, exactly. It's, I mean, that's a game that everyone's played, and you know, this is what I'm kind of fear for the PlayStation, just these developers, how much, and I'm not saying we've hit there yet, but there's going to be a point where these games, the PlayStation Plus games for the PS3 are going to just, no one's going to want to promote on that platform anymore. It's no point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, let's face it, we've had quite the renaissance of awesome AAA titles dropped on us. I mean, we got Bioshock Infinite. We got Devil May Cry. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. So we can't complain too much. But
yeah,
I am looking forward to seeing, you know, games drop on the PS4, you know, that were, you know, that came out this year. You know,
well, and the interesting thing about the PS4 thus far is PS Plus has been, you know, it's like been all these indie games, which there's been some solid games released for it. But it's kind of, when PS Plus was first announced and they were going to be giving games away, this was actually what I expected that was going to happen, what they were going to be doing. Was they were going to be doing these low-budget, indie-type games and drop those for free. And then they surprised me and a lot of people when they started dropping stuff, you know, like AAA titles on PlayStation Plus.
June of 2012. Remember Jack Tretton got up there, we're going to give you 12 PlayStation Plus titles. It was insane.
Yeah.
It was like Just Cause 2, Infamous 2, I mean, just blew everybody's mind. Yeah. Ratchet and Clank something or other. I mean, craziness.
When they said they were giving games, they gave real games.
That's when I finally got into PS Plus.
And now, so now I wonder if the PS, you know, if the PS4 is now destined to, PS Plus is now destined to be a promoter for like indie games and given that, or if it's just because, you know, look, we're less than a year into the console's life. There's AAA developers are not at the point that they're willing to let their games slip onto PS Plus. They're still hoping to get as much from retail as possible, and you know, in about 6 months we'll start seeing, you know, full retail games.
And I hate to say it, but the greater the lead, you know, Sony gets over Microsoft, the lazier they can be.
Well, that's
Microsoft's making some moves right now, though. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. So, hey, real quick, charts for last week. Number 10, NBA 2K15 on Xbone. Evil Within for PS3 at number 9. Evil Within for Xbox 360 at number 8. You got any interest in that game, Steve?
A little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit. I think I'd rather play Aliens Isolations, but I might.
See, I'm the other way. I think I'd rather play Evil Within, but I'm not jonesing to go buy either one right now.
No.
I'd wait for at least half price or, you know, 2/3 off.
Yeah.
Number 7, Borderlands, the pre-sequel. I have really soured on that one. When I heard that there's an oxygen meter that's consistently going down the whole level, I'm like, nope, that's all I needed to hear.
That's
done.
Never a good mechanic.
I hate timers.
Yep.
I hate timers.
Even if they don't have an impact on gameplay, I still hate them.
Yeah. I like to do it at my own pace. Mm-hmm. So I'm done. I'm out on that one. NBA 2K15 for 360 is number 6. NBA 2K15 and for PS4 is number 5. Evil Within for Xbone, number 4. Number 3 was Super Smash Bros. For Nintendo 3DS. Number 2, Borderlands, the pre-sequel on 360. So, 360, still well ahead of PS3 for that game. No surprise there. And then number 1, PS4, The Evil Within for 129,000 copies. So it sold pretty well in week 1. Just as an FYI, the global charts, I found this interesting when I was flipping through. Number 1 game globally for the week of October 11th was Monster Hunter 4G, selling 1.5 million units on 3DS.
Oh my God.
So there you have it.
That's insane.
All right. Some of this news is kind of old, so we can go through it at whatever pace you want. But this is a really old one. Noriega, Manuel Noriega, is suing Activision for his portrayal in Call of Duty. And then who comes to his defense? Giuliani, of all people. because, of course, I guess. I don't know.
I don't understand. They actually, it just hit the news wire tonight that that case was dismissed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but
okay.
I don't.
Breaking just, update, everybody.
Yeah, so I don't.
Giuliani, I just found it kind of hilarious.
Yeah. That's the icing on the cake that Giuliani defended him, but whatever.
In sadder news, Drive Club PS Plus, man. Where in the heck is this game? This was supposed to be a launch title. Then it was an October free game. Now it's lost in the ether forever. It's not working.
The question here at this point, Andy, is does anyone care?
No, not really. I mean, it's not a great game. I certainly wouldn't buy it, you know, if it wasn't free.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of racing games anyway, but it's no Forza. It's no Gran Turismo.
Smell the leather of the seats. Feel the leather to the wall.
The leather!
The leather! I mean, this
was
guy
this the game? Was this the game where at E3 the guy was like, I want to have sex with this car?
Yes, just that like... was pretty much it. Started showing car porn up on the screen.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, it was just awful.
I wonder how the crew's going to be on the 11th, man.
That has a lot of good buzz around it. Yeah. I'm not a racing game type player at all, but... But yeah, that game's supposed to. The crew's got a lot of positive buzz about it. Drive Club, it just supposedly is just a outright wreck.
Yeah.
in fact, I heard on the Giant Bomb that the release they said they're going to be patching in weather into the game. If that's your exciting patch to patch in weather, you got some problems with your game.
Weather.
Yes, weather. Oh, look at the rain. It's raining while I'm driving. So yeah, that's been a big disappointment.
When do you think we see it? When do you think we finally get it? Do you think Sony drops it on like Christmas Eve? Merry Christmas, everyone!
I mean, at this point, because the Drive Club PS Plus version was supposed to be a restricted version of the game.
Mm-hmm.
At this point,
yeah, it's stripped down.
They should just give it to us all like the full version.
You think they won't?
They won't, but they should.
some idiots will still buy it, but. Yeah. Yeah, whatever. We'll see. I'm, you know, whenever. It's just kind of sad and funny that, you know, Sony can't get their driving games together.
Yeah, I mean, especially Gran Turismo takes them, you know, almost a decade to release each game.
Crazy.
And this thing they've tried to slam out in a year.
In the same time, Microsoft's put out 2 Forza games.
Yeah, no, that's how Microsoft does that on Forza, and yet it takes Sony 5 years to put Gran Turismo out is beyond me.
No idea. So. SingStar came out today. Free phone app with it. I know, but you got to admit, the idea of the phone app is pretty cool, you know, to sing into your phone and record it.
That's actually a pretty genius use of the app to console technology. Yeah. It's a way of these manufacturers, you know, I mean, previously they had a package in and a cheap microphone, you know, with every SingStar version. And now it's like, well, use the microphone on your phone; it'll do the same thing, and you can. It's a smart way of using it. So yes, I agree. That is a pretty cool thing to do.
And that's the only reason I threw it in here. I thought it was just a pretty cool use of tech, kind of like going back to Fibbage, the way that they let you use your phone with that. I think it's very smart.
I wish more games took advantage of the second screen technology on phones and tablets.
The right way.
Yes.
Because what they did in AC4 with the tablets was stupid. I mean, there was a game you could play on there, and it was just ridiculous.
All I want is on the tablet, you come up with a game, and on the tablet, you can use it to go through your inventory and display a map.
Yep. And
depending on the type of game. That's all they need to do. And we'll that simple functionality would be fantastic. Could you imagine with Diablo, if you could just go, like, on your phone, you could be browsing your inventory while you still can watch what's on the screen?
Mm-hmm.
Great use of that. And it'd be easier to manage because you can use touchscreen rather than having to fumble through. It would be great. I mean, these were the things that I, as soon as they said they were doing this, like when Microsoft announced Smart Glass and Sony said they have their thing, that was like the uses I thought were going to be out there and available to everyone. And you haven't really seen it. I mean, I thought of like Madden, where you can pick plays on your tablet, so the other guy can't see what you're picking, you know, when you're playing someone in the same room.
Yeah, it's funny to go back and listen to speculation, you know, before these consoles launched. Everybody thought we were going to get a controller like the Wii U's with a screen or a second screen of sorts. Nobody did that, you know. Yeah. So, AC Unity, Assassin's Creed Unity, has a season's pass, and apparently it's coming with a 2.5D game set in China. So I guess it's going to be part side-scroller, part 3D game where you're an assassin in China. I'm not sure what exactly this is. It was just a quick blurb, and I haven't heard anything about it in a couple weeks, but interesting. One thing I've seen, these Ubisoft season passes are blatantly overpriced. I mean, you can buy them at $29.99, and that gets you one piece of story DLC and a whole bunch of crap, like outfits and everything else. And all the average gamer cares about is the story DLC. So you're much better to just buy that and skip the crap.
Yeah, I'm interested in this Unity game from the standpoint that I keep forgetting that it's co-op. Yep. It's an Assassin's Creed. I mean, I wonder if this may be something that, you know, three of us play.
I'm game. The only problem is, you know, we're already knee-deep in Diablo.
Yeah.
Destiny is still sitting around.
I regret Destiny.
I do too. That was.
We should have just. You know what we should have done, Andy? We should have just played the damn game and said scratch it off as a game night game.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I'm excited to play it as a campaign. What's that thing going for on Amazon these days? Because I might just bail out.
In fairness, we both enjoyed the 20-30 minutes we played of it.
We did. The gameplay was fun. It was very satisfying. I'm just wondering,
We're solely complaining off of things we've heard on Giant Bomb.
No.
Yes, we
are. There have been other places that are complaining about it. They are not the only ones.
And to be fair, I agree with. I haven't witnessed them firsthand, but the points they made are valid. Like, you know, if that's the case, then yes, the game has a lot of flaws. At the same time, I can't see you and I ever doing a raid in Destiny.
No, I can't either. When you told me what that composed of and how hard it is, you have to have all six people positioned in the right place, that's never going to happen.
We will play that game and play the campaign and then put it away like any other game, where you're not going to play it like an MMO like it was designed to be played.
Do you think the expansions will do anything for us?
That will just be additional campaign content. And then they'll add raids. That's all the expansions are going to end up being.
I don't know.
Well, if you sell it, then I might end up just start playing that. I'm not going to sell it.
I mean, you know what? It's a sunk cost. I think I got it. I don't know, but it's here.
I'm just disappointed we bought it right away. Like, you know, without
For something, man. I mean, we were in the driest of dry spells. We just had the itch.
It would have been fun to be part of that on day one. And that's what we were trying to do. But, you know, to be honest, we also wanted to all play it, and we wanted to have Charlie play it. And just with Diablo going on, it just wasn't realistic. So,
Still got a long way to go in Diablo, too.
Yeah.
Some GTA 5 news. I don't know if this is actually happening or not, but there was a lot flying around about a first person mode coming to that game.
So, someone released a mod for, I think it was GTA 4.
I'm talking about GTA 5 on current gen, by the way. I'm talking GTA 5 on Xbox and PS4, just to clarify.
There was when GTA 4 came out for PC, someone made a mod that allowed you to play it at first person view. So this is not far-fetched. I just don't think the game would play properly that way.
I can't imagine them engineering this into the console versions of it for current gen. I think at best you're going to see it on PC. If anybody gets a GTA 5 beta invitation in your email, ignore it. It's a phishing scam. Rockstar has not sent out a GTA 5 beta to anybody, so ignore that. More GTA news. There is a ton of new content in the current gen model as compared to the previous gen model. There was a blurb on PlayStation blog today about it. It's actually enticing me to want to go back into that world again. I 100%ed that game and spent just way too much time playing it. But it's a good game. it's a good game. The story was kind of dragging towards the end, but it's a good game. And then the last piece of GTA news, GTA San Andreas remastered on the Xbox 360 with achievements dropped this weekend for $3.74.
That's a weird one. That was really weird.
Everybody's been begging for those games to come to PS3 and Xbox 360 with trophies, but that was up until PS4 came out and everybody got distracted with current gen, so why now?
Yeah, I the only thing I can say is maybe they were working on it for a long time and it just got released and the timing was bad, or I don't know.
Why not drop that thing like July 7th in the middle of the summer when nothing's happening and people will buy anything, you know?
I never played San Andreas. I heard it's one of the best ones.
I got about halfway through it. I never finished it.
Yeah.
It's weird, man. It's not your typical GTA. You have to work out.
Yeah, there's all that
kind of weights. You know, and if you don't lift weights, you get fat. And then there's that whole hot coffee scandal that happened. Uh-huh. You know, it's composed of L.A., San Fran, and Las Vegas. And I only made it about halfway through San Fran.
Yeah.
But the game is huge. I mean, for what a game was on PS2 at the time, it was just huge. So anyway, just weird. Gamergate's been happening.
Yeah.
What do you think of all this stuff, Steve?
I don't know exactly what's going on. I've heard bits and pieces. Honestly, I don't care. I just want to play games.
Yeah.
I say that. I mean, it's horrible what's happened to some of the people that have been involved in this. Internet's a bad place.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Don't go in that side of the neck of the woods. Don't cross the tracks in the internet.
It's picking up a lot of steam in non-gaming outlets. I mean, it's gotten articles in USA Today, the New York Times. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's picking up a lot of attention lately. I wish it would just go away, but I just don't see it going away. I hesitate to even mention this next one on the podcast. Should I just skip it?
Go ahead with it.
If you haven't heard of a game called Hatred, it's probably for the best. The fine neo-Nazis in Poland have created this this hot piece of trash.
Is it? Are you being facetious, or
there are actually guys wearing neo-Nazi T-shirts on the developer team of Hatred.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
That makes sense, but I didn't know that.
So this is a game about mass shootings. It opens up with a guy that just wants to kill people, and you know, and that's what it is. I mean, it's just brutal executions in the middle of a park, and it's just about the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. It's coming in February. My question is, Steve, is this PC only? Please say this is PC only.
I don't know, but I can't imagine Sony and Microsoft greenlighting this game to be on their platforms.
It's Destructive Studios, if I remember right.
I can't even see Steam allowing this on Steam. I would imagine this would end up being just like, you know, you buy it online from their website or something like that. But I could be wrong, but if it's truly a Nazi studio and they're and just the premise of this game, it's awful. In fact, I don't even want to give this any more time, but it's just
I don't either. I just it's something else. I hope it fails miserably. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely disgusting. I mean, yes, it has a right to exist, and I have the right to call it hot garbage.
Yes.
There is a Tetris movie coming out. I don't know what the heck this is going to be.
I don't either. I'll believe it when I see it. There's been so many movies based on games announced, and I've yet to see. There's been so few that actually have turned into movies. They've been talking about an Uncharted movie, which is an Uncharted movie could be pretty cool.
Yeah.
They've been talking about that for years. I still haven't seen anything.
This has to be about people playing Tetris competitively, right? That's all it could be.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that would make sense. I'm hoping it's not. I'm actually hoping for a movie.
You're hoping it's about packing cars, Tetris style, and stuff.
I'm hoping it's a movie about blocks.
Yeah,
just the whole movie is just going to be a Star Wars scroll with blocks falling.
Awesome. Can't wait. Steve, pour one out. PlayStation Home. They're shutting it down. 3/31. The home's going up for sale.
Did you ever log in?
Everybody's getting evicted on March 31st, 2015.
Have you ever logged into PlayStation Home?
I went in there once. And I wasn't sure what the heck was going on. I think I made it as far as putting a shirt on my avatar, and I left. I
was the only like, thing that PlayStation Home ever did to me was piss me off. Like, there was numerous times that I accidentally clicked on that icon, and it sat there loading, and I would just turn the damn PlayStation off and turn it back on, because I would rather just do that than wait to get into Home. So, sayonara, yeah. PlayStation Home.
Yeah, we barely knew ye. It's going to have the highest traffic ever on March 31st, though. You know that, right?
Yeah.
People are going to go in there to wish it farewell. Oh, PlayStation Home. We'll miss you. And the last piece of news, like I said earlier, Microsoft, man, making some moves. Got to take my hat off to them. Taking $50 off for the holidays. Going down to $350, even on the bundles. Steve, is this good enough for you? Is it kind of crazy that I sort of want a Sunset Overdrive bundle?
Yes. Sort of, kind of. It's a little crazy. Because there's not much else on that platform that I really
want. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm thinking. What has to happen? And you tell me what has to happen to make you want an X-Bone.
And as good as they're saying Sunset Overdrive is, it is not, to me, a system seller. There's nothing that... If I had one, I'm sure I would buy the game and play it and probably really love it. But there's nothing about the game that's screaming out to me, you got to play this thing, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe that changes. I've purposely just kind of avoided it because I knew it would be good. Maybe. I don't know. What has to happen for me to get
What has to happen for you to want an Expo? What's the price got to be? How many exclusives have to be that you want?
It's at the break price that I would consider buying one. I mean, at $350, that thing's a pretty good deal. I would say a good Gears of War game would get me to buy it.
One good Gears of War game? That's all you would need?
Well, with the knowledge...
It's in development, that, you know.
What's that? Oh, it's I in know. Development. I mean, with the knowledge that, okay, there's the Halo collection out there and that's been...
I was going to ask you, is that doing anything for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've played them all. I don't care about achievements anymore, so it's kind of like, eh. But knowing that a new Halo game's coming out would... but you know what? Even Halo, I've kind of lost my luster with Halo. I bought my 360 because of Halo 3. When that got released, and now if that the new Halo 5, I kind of don't have the same draw to that. And even Gears, like it would have to be one hell of a gear. I love the Gear series, and it would still have to be. And I haven't, and to tell you how burnt out I'm on it, I never played Judgment, which was
supposed
to
be. Me neither. I own it. I haven't done anything with it.
I never even bought it, and I don't own an Xbox anymore, so I don't.
Yeah, you sold them.
My opportunity to play it is done. Well,
to be fair, Judgment wasn't a very good Gears game.
They didn't say it was serviceable. It was okay. They just said it wasn't. Yeah, but it's going to be a tough sell for me to get an Xbox One. I really almost don't want one because I'll end up in this. You know, I got the PC, I got the PlayStation 4. Between those two, I can play 99% of the games that are released. I mean, hell, the exclusives up to this point that Microsoft's released have, you know, Rise and what was the other one?
Dead Rising 3.
Dead Rising 3 have been both released on Steam. So it's kind of like one of those things. But yeah, I mean, a good Gears game and maybe another exclusive that gets just killer reviews might convince me to get that box.
Titanfall doesn't do anything for you, does it?
No, and I can get that on PC too.
That's true. Forgot about that.
So, yeah, that's where I stand.
Rise of the Tomb Raider. That's just a timed exclusive.
That's just a time exclusive. I'm kind of, like I said, I'm kind of hoping to just keep my allegiances in the Sony camp and PC camp, and not be divided.
You think in the next 3 years you get one?
I would say the magical eight ball says most probably, but
I just look at it. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm sure Microsoft will eventually release something that really piques my interest.
My gold just expired, and I didn't renew it, obviously. Mm-hmm. I just look at it, and I say, man, $350 with Sunset included, you're basically getting a console for $290.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that's pretty good, you know, and you know they're going to make it even better. You know, you're going to find like some Black Friday or Cyber Monday deal where it's like $300, you know, and you're basically getting it for $240. That's going to be hard.
I know. I just,
I know I got the Wii U and I barely touched that thing. Because every time I do, I'm like, I could be earning trophies right now.
That's my point.
You know,
that was the funny thing during the last gen. You know, we were mainly 360 players, and every time I touched my Sony, I was like, damn it, I could be earning achievements right now, yep. But I'm playing this thing. And the difference was Sony had some games like Uncharted that were worth playing regardless of trophies or achievements. You know, it was just like, I got to experience this. This is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I know I had to cut away for Uncharted 2 and 3, you know.
And right now, Microsoft just doesn't have anything to me that is calling my name that you need to play this on an Xbox.
Laugh if you will, but Crackdown, you know, I am excited for it. I know you hate it, but I'm into it. And Sunset's kind of scratching that itch. Listen, here's the thing. I'm in two fantasy football leagues right now. I'm in the top three in both. If I win a boatload of money in these leagues, I'm taking the plunge because I'm an idiot.
Now, I will tell you this.
That money will be burning a hole in my pocket, and I'm going to have to do something with it.
I'll tell you this, Andy. Up until about, I say 2 weeks ago when they announced that Nexus player with Plex on it, I had secretly been considering it.
Because of the Plex app?
Because of the Plex app.
So, well, that we both have our reasons. I have Crackdown and you have the Plex app.
That would have been the system seller. Because then I actually got to thinking, because it has that whole HDMI input and bypass. Yeah. It's like, well, that would be kind of cool, because now Plex can come up on my screen. I don't even have to switch inputs. Like, I could pull Plex up and watch a movie and then go back to this. And, like, that's pretty cool.
Well, just know that it's in the back of my head. I think you've dissuaded me tonight to kind of stay away for a while. I'm not so sure this $50 cut doesn't stay permanent, though, Steve. I wonder if they don't extend it well past the holidays, if they see some success from it.
So that's the problem. During the holidays, some extra money hits your pocket. You're trying to scratch that itch. What do you want to buy? And next thing you know, you're sitting there with an Xbox One crying because you got nothing to play. You hooked up your TV, and it's like, okay, it's another Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, the only things I'd buy for it are exclusives. You know,
I mean, you're absolutely right, though. Like, Sunset Overdrive.
And this is exactly what Microsoft is hoping would happen.
Yes.
This is exactly what they were banking on. But somebody mentioned it. How funny would it be if Sunset Overdrive came out and got fours and fives, and then they did this price cut?
Yeah. Good point.
Wouldn't look quite the same.
No, they must have had some severe confidence in this game. I mean, the other thing I think about is like, all right, well, for $350, yeah, I could get the Xbox, and that would be great. Or I could get a second PS4 for up North Carolina and get rid of this PlayStation TV and have that. Yeah. But I don't know.
I'm curious. I'll leave it at that. Hey, one more thing, and then we'll do Charlie's question. Okay. We didn't talk about Civ Beyond Earth. That's that's either dropping or it dropped. You picking that up? You going to check that out?
I will eventually get it. It's just a matter of timing. I think
no urgency.
I'm just going to wait on that until I'm ready to actually play it. It's, you know, especially since it's Steam, so you can just, I'll just download it when I want to play it. There's no point in buying it.
Until you probably want to play that at your command station at home, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can play it on my laptop, too. My laptop can run that. So.
But, I mean, most desirable experience, probably.
Yes, absolutely.
So you'll probably be home for a while around the holidays. Maybe you get a chance.
That it sounds like a perfect holiday game. Like, I can see my month of from Thanksgiving to Christmas being consumed by that game.
I hear it's basically Civ 5. Did you play Civ 5 at all?
Yes, not enough. You dabbled. But Civ 5 was a good game.
And you enjoyed it?
Yes, but I just, stopped for whatever reason. But Civ 5 was a lot of fun. I think the sci-fi world of the new Civ would be a fresh take on it. And because I didn't play a whole lot of Civ, it would be a pretty good new experience for me. So definitely going to buy it, just a matter of when. I'd probably say look to my birthday week. I'll probably grab it.
Yes, Steve Giving, or Steve. Whatever it's called.
Thanks, Steven.
Thanks, Steven. That's the ticket. Well, hey, Charlie's not here, but he asked us a question the last time he was.
Yes.
That question was, which boss whose defeat gave us the most satisfaction?
I think this is a repeat question. I'm just throwing that out there before we answer.
This question was not asked before. Maybe before we documented these podcasts. Maybe okay. It was in our test podcast, but
okay.
I'm quite sure, I think.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on. Let me check. I think he said, what game are we most proud of beating? Yeah, so far he's had most underrated game, biggest hole in your gaming history. And that's it.
Okay. Maybe I'm getting... I just remember telling a story similar, and maybe it was just... We just talked about it before. It would be Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII. For me. That son of a bitch put up a good fight. My characters were not leveled properly the first time I tried to take him down. And I swear I told you a story. I think we were ready... we were going to go out in Gainesville one night, and I brought my PlayStation up, and I was playing in my ex-girlfriend's apartment while she was trying to get ready. And she kept on wanting to leave, and I was getting so close to beating him and pushing the boundaries, and I beat him. And I don't even think we ended up going out because it was too late by the time.
I was
going
to ask you where you went. So Sephiroth prevented your date night?
But I defeated him. And in that battle, they actually play Karloff for Fortuna. So it's pretty epic, too.
Awesome. Never played that game. I think I've missed my window.
Yes, you did. That game did not age gracefully at all. I don't care what anyone says.
They're just biding their time to release the remastered edition.
Yes. I think we've talked about this more.
We did.
There's
a
dude at Squaresoft right now. At some point, when things all is lost... he's just waiting.
Drop it now.
He's waiting to hit the red button. Fail safe. Sir, we're gonna have to close all offices from here to Tokyo. From here to Tokyo. Fail safe.
It'll sell like 8 million copies.
Yeah, and sell 8 million.
For me, it was the, not a boss, but a series of bosses. The Trial of Archimedes comes to mind in God of War Ascension.
That was a good one. That was a beast.
Even patched, that was a beast. It took me a few days. It's fairly recent, yes, so maybe I'm kind of cheating my way out of this. If I had to pick another one, it would have been... I mean, Battletoads is my greatest gaming accomplishment, but I can't say any boss in that game just drove me insane. So yeah, that was something else, man. And the funny thing is, I almost beat it my first time through, just out of pure luck. And then I just couldn't get back to that same point every time I tried. It just got worse and worse. So that was mine. Well, listen, Charlie's not here, but I was driving today, and another thing came to mind. What is the telltale heart of your backlog? You know what I mean by that?
Yes, I do.
The game that maybe you've intended to play several times. You've said you were going to play several times, but it just never actually got done. It stares you down every chance you get. It haunts you. You just hear it. Boom, 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 boom. What is your telltale heart?
Because I know this question is for next week, but I will say this. Up until about a year ago, Demon Souls was that game for me. And then I actually played Demon Souls. And realized I have no desire to play Demon's Souls. so no longer. But
nope.
That sat in my backlog a long time, and I kept on looking at it. I'm like, oh, I should play this. But, yeah, I got my actual current Telltale heart and back of my eyes. I'll save that for next week.
I gotta pick one. I've got several, but I've got to pick one.
Okay.
So.
Well, yeah, your I'll be interested to hear yours because your backlog is the most epic of all.
it's quite amazing.
Let me ask you: is this across all platforms, or is this
whatever you want?
Okay.
Whatever you want.
Okay.
That's gonna do it, Steve. That's a podcast.
Went a little bit long.
Yeah, well, hey, we had a lot to talk about. Hopefully we'll be back next week with episode 5. Hopefully this thing makes it to iTunes. Hopefully episodes 2 and 3 come up. Hopefully Charlie comes back next week, but I wouldn't bet on it. I think we may be missing Charlie for a little while.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're going to do some gaming, man. Games are coming out. I'm excited. It is going to be an awesome November. This time next week, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare will be out. I got to say, that game looks pretty good, too. Have you seen the TV commercials?
No. I've seen that silly one that they have when they're making, like,
jokes. No. I'm talking about the serious one.
No, I'm not.
Pretty good.
I'm a Call of Duty behind. I still haven't played Ghosts.
I'm 2 Call of Duties behind. Yeah. Maybe 3. So, the last one I played was
you played
in
Modern
sequence,
Warfare 3.
Modern Warfare 3. So, I still have Black Ops 2, Ghost, and now this one to play.
Yep.
So, I'm way behind. Well, hey, anything else, Steve?
Nope, I think that's a wrap. So.
All right, hey, thanks for listening. We'll get the Twitter handle up one of these days. Is it active yet?
Yeah, it is. It's been so long I don't remember it.
At Dusty Backlogs, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we'll finalize this. Once we get into a routine where we're posting this, we'll get that stuff going.
We're kind of lazy.
Yeah. We'll get the Twitter handle, we'll get the email so people can write in, and we'll get that out to everyone. But we got to get over the first hump, which is getting these things posted and having them on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week. Good night, Dusty.
Good night, Ned.
Night, Dusty.
Good night, Ned.
Good night, Ned.